Science perspective.
Welcome to a Writer in the Lab podcast from Newcastle University, providing you with inside perspectives from scientists and engineers in their own words, discussing the joys and challenges of doing research and why it matters. In this third edition, we speak with Andy Garbutt from OpenLab, the Human-Computer Interaction Research Group at Newcastle University School of Computing. We discuss the ins and outs of HCI research and talk about how HCI can help engage local communities through technology design. Andy talks about his work creating an app commissioning platform for the community and working with Newcastle United Foundation's Match Fit program to help children get fit.
Hey, I'm Andy Garbutt. I'm a researcher, a postdoc researcher at OpenLab based in the School of Computer Science at Newcastle University. I've got a background in software engineering, but I've kind of changed over to interaction design during my PhD. OpenLab's got a really good reputation for being one of the largest HCI groups outside of North America. And it's also got a really impressive interaction design team around kind of digital civics and the general sort of civic technologies ethos, if you like. So they're kind of one of the major pulling points for coming here. And also, it was a recommendation from my supervisor when I was based at Lincoln doing some stuff with cognitive behavioral therapy and sleep. So it's a bit of a shift. I kind of started the whole track with doing kind of social network analysis, looking at how we could use leveraging the power of social networks to find new and interesting stuff. And then quickly realized that actually I'm more interested in kind of the civics aspects in terms of how do people collect and contribute their own kind of experiences so that other people can benefit from those experiences. I think digital civics covers a wide range of things. It can go all the way from local government to national level policy making to activism to things like the solidarity economy in Greece and the work that we're doing there. I think it covers a whole range of things, really about, for me, it's about putting the tools in the hands of the citizens. So rolling out technology at scale, en masse, giving people kind of the power, if you like, to hold government to account, to create alternative services, to basically become, a voice and give them a bit more power in this kind of top-down organization that we have, which is government. I have to say, App Movement is probably one of the most exciting projects that I've worked on. I think just purely from both a technical perspective, it was quite challenging. And also, it kind of had some traction. So it was really exciting that people actually used the service. And I had someone on a train, actually, one of the Green Party MPs, turn around to me and say, oh, have you heard of this breastfeeding app called FeedFinder? I was like, tell me more. And when he kind of, bestowed the values of FeedFinder and how it's helped his wife on me, it was nice to be able to turn around and say, yeah, actually, I was involved in working on that project. So yeah, that's probably been the most rewarding part. Yeah, so initially we were working with Madeline Balam. We were working with breastfeeding groups in the Northeast. So going through NHS advisors, if you like, they've got kind of breastfeeding support groups. And they were developing, Madeline was developing an app at the time as an instructional app to teach young women how to breastfeed. We quickly realized that actually there's a lot of stigmatization of breastfeeding in the Northeast. Nationwide as well. Typically in the Northeast, the breastfeeding rates are a lot lower than our national average. So this is something that was quite important to Madeline and obviously the research team. So we kind of started off by going to these local breastfeeding support groups and just kind of getting to know the gripes and pains, if you like, of breastfeeding in public. One afternoon, one of the mothers basically said to us, wouldn't it be great if we had a TripAdvisor, but for breastfeeding? And that kind of sparked off that idea of, yeah, actually, maybe we could create a location-based review service for breastfeeding-friendly places. So we worked with them over a number of months to basically work out what qualities were important to women and also to understand how they might use this in their day-to-day lives and understand some of the reasons why someone might actually contribute, because it's, it's free labor, essentially. But in effect, people can actually get some sort of benefit from it, kind of indirect reciprocity, if you like. So we kind of started with the FeedFinder stuff, and then we quickly realized, actually, location-based review services are quite important if we want to collectively create information systems and have a kind of community-driven aspect to it. So that's where App Movement was born. There's nothing similar, directly similar to App Movement. However, the closest things tend to be things like sitside.org or Sensor, other research projects which have looked specifically at citizen science. So looking at essentially how can we get members of the public to engage with research. I mean, there's problems in that already because it's this kind of model of, well, it's inviting the public to engage with research at arm's length. So it's go and measure the number of trees on a plot of land. And then we'll take that data. Thanks very much for supplying it. And then we'll run off, do some analysis, and then publish a paper on it. Thanks for the free labor. And no one really benefits from that whole cycle. There's other tools as well, which are a similar sort of citizen science base. There's some stuff with MIT app creator, I think it is, or app maker. That is more of an educational tool. So it's getting kids to basically develop mobile apps with a drag and drop interface. But it doesn't quite have that collective purpose around it. So that's the kind of unique thing about App Movement, is that it really is kind of a grassroots commissioning service that people can engage their network with before an app's even built, to establish the kind of demands behind that app and develop a community who are going to go on to support that application in the future. App Movement is an online commissioning platform for location-based review services. So what it means is it's a little bit like Kickstarter. Anyone can go on the website, you pitch an idea, you get 250 people on board with your idea, and you share that on social media through your friends, family networks. And then essentially after you hit that 250 people kind of supporter target, after 14 days, the process then moves into a design area. And in that design area, you've got configurable options which the community can contribute ideas to. So things like, you know, the app name, logo, rating options. And that really gives the community a bit of time to understand how and what and why people are going to engage with this thing and really what the community want from it. And then what we do is we take those highest rated contributions and then we automatically generate an Android and iOS mobile app. And that whole process takes around about 30 days. And then what happens is people can, you know, those initial 250 people who might have already told, you know, two or three other friends, might eventually be about 1,000 people, go ahead and download the app on day one, as opposed to having to sit in a garage like a normal inventor, release this app, spend months on it, release this app, and then find out it's an absolute flop because no one really wants it. So it's a really nice way of actually allowing the community to create an idea themselves, pre-populate, if you like, the concept and test it with the community, have those discussions, design that prototype, and then release it into the wild with all those kind of initial contributors behind the concept. So I think because it's part of the digital civics, Digital Economy Research Center, I think it's quite important personally that we are not too forward-thinking, but forward-thinking enough that it kind of brings people to an interesting point where they can see the merit in a technology, and it might be a bit quirky for now, but it has some sort of near immediate effect, if you like. That's quite important if we're talking about, you know, actually getting people to use these things, especially if we're talking about society. You know, these aren't lab studies. We can't emulate society in the lab. They need to be in society. So for actually to have some sort of impact and to do something with this technology, you need to kind of design these services and products to look like products. So that's kind of quite important, I think, for digital civics. Anyway, ThinkActive is a system which uses inexpensive activity trackers and pseudonymous avatars to promote reflection of kind of personal informatics for primary school children. It incorporates itself into programs like the Newcastle United Foundation's MatchFit program, which is a 6-week health and nutrition program where they send two instructors into a primary school and they spend 1 hour a week doing classroom-based activities, so learning about the body, health and nutrition, and those sorts of things, and then 1 hour just kind of running around and enjoying themselves. That happens over 6 weeks, and then people like Newcastle United Foundation can then use that data to understand the kind of impacts of their intervention. It's a really interesting project because it's got a few different issues of working in a school environment. School environments are really complex in terms of the safeguarding around kids, the fact that kids can't have mobile phones during class, and, you know, how do I roll this system out when we're talking about service users of 50,000 users region-wide for the Newcastle United Foundation? So when we initially worked with them, they actually wanted to digitize their workbooks to be able to save a bit of capital. And what we quickly realized was actually what's going to get you more capital in the future to continue the good work is to be able to actually say, yeah, we've had a positive impact through our program of work. They have around about 14 programs, so they've got a lot of programs to support. Being able to actually say things like during pilot study one, we could say on average, children actually took 18.5% more steps over the period, 6 week period daily. So that shows that there's an increase in activity levels for those kids. So ThinkActive uses unique QR codes to each student. Alongside that, each student has an avatar. So for example, I can safely tell you that I'm Red Octopus 5. I use that in all my deployments. And what we do is we take a ThinkActive kit to a classroom. We give a teacher a box of bands, if you like, and a box of identities. And then the teacher then has a paper lookup sheet. They take the student's name and they write that down on the sheet next to an avatar. And then they issue that band with that avatar. And what that means is in the future, when the student walks up to the base station, scans their QR code on the back of their workbook, that data is then allocated to people like Red Octopus 5, for example. And then the teacher is the one that kind of safeguards that information so that in the future, when we share that data with people like Newcastle United Foundation or other research teams or Public Health England, that data has been pre-anonymized. This is kind of interesting when we start thinking about looking nationally at health interventions and government budgets. So if governments want to use technology in the future to understand activity levels of kids, how do they operate in this complex school environment? How do they do it at scale, cost effectively? And importantly for me, how do they do it in a privacy-centric manner? Because at the moment, you kind of take a £400, £500 smartphone, you take £120 Fitbit smart device, and then you kind of give it to a kid, and somehow all of this is supposed to work. It's not cost effective. It's not privacy centric in the fact that these companies want to actually take this data, monetize it for advertising purposes. And it just simply doesn't work when we start talking about orchestration of so many devices. ThinkActive is different in the fact that actually, you know, people like Newcastle United Foundation and the teachers themselves can start to issue challenges, group challenges, so they can do collective activity tracking, which is, you know, more engaging. And the fact that kids can see these activity levels in the classroom in a safe environment and start to actually learn about data, given that data-driven decision-making in the future is going to be a core part, if you like, of the civic agenda. So being able to understand data itself is very important. So for kids, they're learning more about data literacy and about drawing conclusions from one another, so socially interacting around data. For teachers, it's being able to actually evidence the impact of their, you know, activity lessons, so running around playing football, because Ofsted are going to come in and actually ask them to evidence those interventions. And then lastly, it's for people like Newcastle United Foundation to access additional funding and really to just keep doing the good work that they do. So when we're thinking about data from ThinkActive, we might actually think about not just about giving teachers or students or people like Newcastle United Foundation access to that data, but how do we do it in such a way that, you know, it can continues to be private for the individual, but that we can share things with researchers, and we can share things with government and people like Public Health England, so that they can actually start to change the way policy is made in terms of technology spending, in terms of activity spending, so that we can actually reduce the obesity epidemic that we have in the UK.
You have been listening to A Writer in the Lab, a Newcastle University podcast, hosted by me, Emily Barker, and produced by Daniel Parry and Brett Cherry, here in Open Lab. If you want to find out more about our research in science, agriculture and engineering, then visit our website at ncl.ac.uk/stage. Thanks for listening and see you next time.